How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Dr. Sana Jaffrey, a non-resident scholar at the Asia Program for the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, also director of the Institute for Policy Analysis of Conflict in Jakarta, Indonesia. And we turn to the news of the virus and Jakarta. Within these last days and hours, Indonesia extended its COVID-19 curbs on populous Java and Bali Islands until mid-month, while easing them in 26 areas, as official data showed infections have plunged in the capital, Jakarta. One of the worst epidemics in Asia, authorities restricted mobility to stem the spread of the highly transmissible Delta variant on Java and Bali in early July. Dr. Jaffrey, Sana, a very good day to you. Your explanation, I follow very carefully, that Jakarta and Indonesia in general were spared the worst of the virus in the first iteration in 2020. But now in 2021, it's hit very hard. What is the significance of the change of limiting people's activities in the large city, Jakarta, and yet an now moving into the large islands, Java and Bali? Good day to you.
Good day to you, John, and thank you for having me on the program. This is a really significant move from the government, because from the very beginning, like other governments all across the world, Indonesia and specifically President Joko Widodo has been very hesitant to impose any large-scale restrictions on movement because of fears of what that would do to the economy, especially the informal sector of the economy in Indonesia, which makes up a large chunk of workers and laborers here, whose lives would be extremely hard hit if there were large-scale restrictions in place to curb the virus. So Indonesia has tried to avoid them for a very long time. And the fact that they can no longer avoid them and are now forced to take measures that they were extremely reluctant to take before, it just shows that the situation here is very, very dire indeed.
If I follow your reporting carefully, we're looking at 40,000 cases a day in worst-case scenario. We're looking at a case rate that could climb much higher. The puzzle here is why it didn't hit you hard last year, why it's hitting you hard this year. We'll leave that to the historians and plow right into epidemiology. What is the expectation? They often talk about peaking. The Delta variant is sweeping around the world. Is the expectation that this will peak soon, or is that an unknown, Dr. Jaffrey?
The 40,000 cases a day was really the expectation from the government. And we've already surpassed that for several weeks. Now the expectation of a peak is highly contingent on the level of restrictions that are imposed and how far the government goes in curbing mobility. If the measures are enforced in a lax way, the epidemiologists, are estimating that the caseload could go up to 400,000 cases a day. But even if they are imposed very strictly, we're looking at a possible 100,000 cases a day type of a scenario. And so it's not looking very good. The one thing that has changed in the last two weeks is that Jakarta, which was the epicenter of the epidemic in the beginning, around the month of June, has seen a decline in numbers because the mobility curves have been imposed very strictly in the city, relative to before. But the virus is now spreading to other parts of the country that are really remote. Data collection or testing capacity in those areas is very low. And so the numbers look overall like they are declining, but actually fatalities are still very high, which are a much more accurate measure of how bad things are.
The vaccine. Here in the United States, the vaccine is overwhelming and has contributed to a revival of the economy. What is the situation of the vaccine in Indonesia, in the large cities and in the rural Indonesia?
Well, Indonesia has only managed to vaccinate, fully vaccinate, only 8% of its population of 270 million people. And only 18% have actually received a first dose. I'm one of the people who have only received a first dose. One of the reasons for the slow vaccination rate is the availability of vaccines. So Indonesia is highly dependent on buying vaccines from China. Sinovac is the brand that is more available here. And they have not been able to purchase vaccines in the same way that the United States and other Western countries have been able to purchase. So they don't have enough stock. And the stock that they do have is mostly distributed to large cities. Rural areas are lower on vaccine. Distribution is an issue. And also the fact that a lot of the surge, current surge of infections is taking up the time and the labor of all the healthcare workers who should be vaccinating are actually now busy fighting viruses in hospitals.
I generalize carefully that this appears to be the present unacceptable circumstance, a product of politics, on and off politics over the last year and a half. Let's concentrate on the President Widodo. You report that he's had a series of ministers, health ministers, two in particular, and many decisions made that are then changed, a lot of unpredictability. Has that contributed to the virus spreading at this point, or was the Delta always going to overwhelm?
I think it's safe to say that the Delta was always going to overwhelm at some point. But the only thing that could have been done through prudent management and health management would have been to minimize the scale of its impact, I think. It could have saved lives. There could have been better measures in place, especially testing and tracing capacity, that could have made government's efforts more effective at containing the virus. So there's no way that any country could have completely avoided an outbreak of this scale, of this transmissibility level of the virus, but it could have definitely been less fatal, and it could have been on a more manageable scale than what we are seeing currently in Indonesia today.
The two countries I'm most familiar with in Indo-Pacific in particular are Australia and India. Reporting from India several weeks past, it was a catastrophe with lines of relatives outside crematoriums. In Australia, the lockdown is severe, though the caseload is nowhere comparable to the one that you're illustrating in Indonesia. Both those are dealing with the Delta variant. Where is Indonesia on the scale of the overwhelming sadness of the crematoriums of India and the, what you'd have to say, silent streets of Australia with people at home? Where are you in that continuum, Doctor?
I think that we are closer at this point to the headlines that were coming out of India. Certainly 2 weeks ago, Jakarta was at that place. The hospitals were completely overrun. At this point, I don't know any single person personally who was not affected by the virus, and not many people who have not had a fatality in their immediate households. And so the situation was very bad. The kind of stories that you were hearing about people looking for oxygen tanks in India are the stories that were coming out of Indonesia as well. That seems to have passed, at least in the big cities, but it has the same tragic situation has now moved to more remote parts of the country that are sort of under the radar of mainstream media. And so we're not hearing those stories, but they are very much there. So I would say, yeah, the lockdown here is nowhere as strict as it is in Australia.
And my familiarity with the virus over the last year and a half, some societies and cultures need to go out to work to eat. That was true in Peru, that was very hard hit, and other parts of South America. Is that true in Indonesia as well, that parts of your economy must go outside to work and at home there is no remedy?
Absolutely. Indonesia relies heavily on informal sector. Especially in big cities, and a lockdown, a strict lockdown here, the kind that you see in Australia and other places, would have to come with a significant effort from the government to provide subsistence support to those informal workers who would not be salaried and sitting like, you know, you and me at home doing our work. And so, you know, there has been hesitance to do that, even though Indonesia's own quarantine law provides for the government to, compels the government to provide such support in case of an emergency situation like this. But cost considerations and uncertainty about duration of how long that would have to be has kept the government from taking those kinds of strict steps. So it has been sort of a lot of back and forth on imposing strict versus lax measures. But that's really hit those informal sector workers very hard indeed.
The health workers, doctors and nurses in isolation, you say many died in July. Is there a remedy for just the health workers to concentrate on that? Are they getting the vaccine they need to help them in their jobs?
Yes, they were the first ones. So 1.5 million health workers in Indonesia were the first ones to receive the Sinovac vaccine when it came into in Indonesia. And that vaccine proved effective in guarding their health. Fatality rates, infection rates were lower for several months before the Delta variant hit. And once the Delta variant hit, there are concerns about the vaccine proving less effective for the health workers. The United States recently donated 4.5 million doses of the Moderna vaccine to Indonesia in response to this crisis. And that vaccine is being used to revaccinate Indonesia's health workers in a bit to protect them and guard them better against the Delta variant. And so that's a very good development.
Dr. Sana Jaffrey, non-resident scholar, Asia Program, Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, Director, Institute for Policy Analysis of Conflict in Jakarta, Indonesia. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.